Nick Clergis has joined us. Good morning, Nick.
Are we back on again?
We are back on.
Oh, okay. Again, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the October meeting of the Historic Preservation Board. We have one member missing today, and we have a very short agenda, so let's go.
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you. We do have a short agenda. Before we start the meeting, I'm going to turn it over to Nick, and he can provide you with some updates and provide the lobbyist registration information. Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie, and good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'll start out by reading the city's notice regarding lobbyist registration. If you're appearing on behalf of a business, a corporation, or another person, you need to register as a lobbyist with the city clerk's office. If you haven't registered yet, you should register before you speak to the board. You don't have to register as a lobbyist if you're speaking only on behalf of yourself and not any other party, or if you're testifying as an expert witness providing only scientific, technical, or other specialized information or testimony in this public meeting. Or if you're appearing as a representative of a neighborhood association without any compensation or reimbursement for your appearance to express support of or opposition to any item. Expert witnesses and representatives of neighborhood associations shall, prior to appearing, disclose in writing to the city clerk their name, address, and the principal on whose behalf they're communicating. If you're an architect, attorney, or employee representing an applicant or an objector, you must register as a lobbyist. These rules apply whether you're appearing in favor of or against an item or encouraging or arguing against its passage, defeat, modification, or continuance. And before I turn the meeting back over to the chairman, I'd just like to swear in any members of the public who will be testifying today who are here in person. So please raise your right hands. And also staff, do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Nick. The first order of business this morning is the approval of the September 13th minutes. We do need a motion on this.
Yeah, I'll move the minutes.
Okay, do I have a second? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, that passes. We do have several requests for continuances this morning. And we have one deferral. The first item received a one-time deferral. This is HPB 19-0352, 1116 Ocean Drive. The applicant, again, has received a one-time deferral, and this application will be re-noticed fully for a future public hearing, so no action is required on that. The second request this morning is HPB 20-0445. This is 306 Lincoln Road. The applicant is requesting a continuance to the November 9th meeting. I do see Mickey Marrero, who has via Zoom, who is representing the applicant. And Mickey, would you like to say something to the board?
Sure. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. You all had some very constructive comments for us last time, and we were hoping we would be able to be back before you today, but speaking with my client, they really want to get it right this time, and they needed a little bit extra time. They have a design that will be ready for staff to review, hopefully by next week, and we'll have it in your packet for the November hearing, but we don't have it ready for this meeting.
Thank you. Thank you, Mickey.
And staff has no objection to their request. We will need to open this up to the public, Mr. Chair, if you would like to do
sure.
So.
Sure. Anybody okay. From the public like to comment?
Okay, I don't see anyone on Zoom. If you're on Zoom and you would like to comment, please raise your hand. Okay, Mr. Chair, seeing none.
Okay, seeing no one here either, we close public comment.
I make a motion to move this, continue it to November 9th. Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. The application has been continued to November 9th. The next request for continuance this morning is HPB 21-0460. This is 7510 Harding Avenue. The applicant is requesting a continuance to the November 9th meeting. Staff has no objection to this request and is supportive of the approval. I do not see anyone from representing the applicant on Zoom. If there is a representative of the applicant on Zoom, please raise your hand. Mr. Chair, I do not see the applicant. However, staff has been in contact with the applicant, and we have no objection to their request.
Thank you.
I'll make a motion to continue this item to November 9th.
Okay, we have a motion and a second by Mr. Lopez. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Actually, we should open the public hearing. I don't know if we did that for this. Anyone from the public wishing to speak on HPB 210460, 7510 Harding Avenue, request for continuance?
Seeing none?
No. Okay. The next request for continuance is HPB 200440. This is 550 Washington Avenue. I received a request yesterday afternoon that the applicant is still working on refining the design and would like continuance to the November 9th meeting. Mickey Marrero, representing the applicant, is online if you would like to hear from them, but staff has no objection to this request and is recommending approval.
Okay. Anyone online?
Good morning again.
Morning, Mickey.
Yeah. Sorry. So, I think at the September meeting, I was way too overconfident in our ability to get these things done quickly. We are really working hard, and unfortunately, while we did have a design modification, our principal really wasn't entirely comfortable, so we are still working on it, and we do want to get these things right. Very similarly to my other request, we would like November. We do think we're very close, and we'll be ready in November.
Okay, thank you. Any comment, public comment?
I don't see any public comment on Zoom, and no one in the audience appears interested.
Seeing none, of course.
Make a motion to continue to November 9th.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. And just for all of the applicants that did receive the continuance this morning, any revised plans will be due on October 18th. Okay, that completes the request for continuance. We have two regular applications this morning. The first is HPB 190367. This is 455 Lincoln Road. An application has been filed requesting a certificate of appropriateness for the installation of a retractable canopy structure at the roof deck and modification to the public interior spaces. This also includes a variance request to exceed the hours of operation for an outdoor bar counter. There's really two major areas of request for the certificate of appropriateness, the rooftop and the original public interior space on the ground floor. Staff has been meeting with the applicant probably for close to a year, if not over a year, and with regard to a new restaurant tenant. So I don't know if many of you are familiar, but previously this was Five Napkin Restaurant. Unfortunately, the building had a fire several years ago and really has been unoccupied since that time. There has been a previous application that this board reviewed for renovations, primarily exterior renovations, including the restoration of the original keystone on the exterior, and staff is very excited and pleased with how that is coming along. That I believe was approved back in 2015. We're also very supportive of this building being occupied again in the future. With regard to the original public interior space, when it was Five Napkin Burger, modifications were done even prior to that restaurant. But if you look back at the images from the previous restaurant, all of the original interior features had been stripped out. We have very limited information on, as to what that was. For example, there's the ceiling is exposed, and really there was nothing left in terms of the original significant materials. So we are generally supportive of the proposed application for the interior renovations. We have no significant concerns. Again, previously, because of the alterations that had been done, and there are no significant features remaining, so we are supporting the request for the interior modifications. With regard to the new rooftop trellis, we're also supportive of the rooftop trellis. This is becoming more of a common element that this board is reviewing. In fact, we have two today. Maybe in part because outdoor dining has become even more popular than it was prior to the COVID pandemic. So in concept, we're very supportive of a retractable canopy. We do point out in the staff report that this will be visible from different vantage points along Lincoln Road. So we do have certain conditions in our recommendation regarding attachments to the canopy. We believe that if those can be limited and any required attachments such as lighting be integrated into the frame, that would help reduce its impact on the surrounding historic district. So we are recommending approval of the canopy subject to certain conditions that are outlined in our draft order. With regard to the variance, the applicant is requesting a variance for the outdoor bar counter to operate until 3 a.m. It's important to note that the outdoor bar counter was actually approved by this board during the renovations of the exterior. So currently, the requirements for an outdoor bar counter are to cease operation at midnight. This particular property is not located adjacent to any building with a residential unit. So by code, they would have to shut down the bar counter only at midnight. They could retain the outdoor seating, the tables and chairs, and they could serve from the interior. They have two bars on the interior. They could serve guests from that bar until, I believe, their planning board order allows them to operate until 4 a.m. So based on that information, staff was unable to find a hardship because they will still be able to use the space and operate as a restaurant serving alcohol after midnight, just not the bar counter. So we are not supportive of the variance request and are recommending that be denied as part of our overall recommendation. And if I'm available, if you have any questions, I see the applicant represented by Mr. Larkin is here, and Mr. Chair, if you would like to hear from the applicant. Do you have your mic on? The bar itself, the physical bar counter itself,
microphone,
was approved by the board in, let's see, when was it? In 2018. There was a deck, an elevator, and a stair enclosure approved at the roof level back in 2018. However, at that time, they did not have a tenant identified. They were making some improvements, including the accessible roof deck, and along with that, there was a significant amount of restoration that was being done to the exterior of the building. Now that we have a tenant, 3 years later, they're coming in to have more specific requests, and that does include the retractable canopy at the roof level and a variance to exceed the hours of operation for the bar.
Okay, does that answer your question, Nancy?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. Sir.
I'm not on Zoom anymore.
Okay. I was looking for you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, board member staff, Michael Larkin, 200 South East Kane Boulevard, here representing the applicant. With me today, either in person or in Zoom, is Alan Cador. He is the owner of the property. Jeff Weinstein, the owner's representative. Omar Morales with Forum Group, the architect of record. And my colleague, Emily Balter. Can you pull up the presentation, please? Next slide, please. So in summary, as Debbie pointed out, we're asking for three different items from you all. First is a modification to the previously gutted public interior space. Debbie pointed out that it caught fire in 2015 when it was five napkins, and it was a substantial fire. We've been slowly trying to improve it since, but there is nothing left of any of the historic elements. Number two, an installation of a well-designed retractable canopy structure on the roof deck. And finally, number three, a variance to exceed the hours of operation for an outdoor bar counter to be consistent with the hours of operation for the interior restaurant. Next slide, please. The subject site is located in Lincoln Road Mall, the northeast corner of the intersection of Drexel Avenue and Lincoln Road. It's south of Soundscape Park. It's southeast of the New World Center. It's northeast of the Miami Beach Community Church. And by the way, when we went through this process in 2018, 2020, we reached out to Howard Herring for the New World Symphony, and he's in complete support of the entire entertainment concept, including the rooftop use. The only thing he asked, and we agreed to, is that when they have their wall cast performance, that we have no speakers whatsoever on the rooftop. We're permitted to have ambient background music. We further agreed that when they have their wall cast, we'll have no music whatsoever on the rooftop. Next slide, please. And these are just more aerial photographs, so you all get a good idea where it is. Next slide, please. So 455 Lincoln, also known as the Lincoln Drexel Building, has been an integral part of the Lincoln Road Corridor since it was constructed in 1937. It's a classic Art Deco building designed by Robert Little. I didn't know till I read the Historic Resource Report that Robert Little also designed the Ring Theater on UM campus and the Low Art Museum. And the Low Art Museum was the first art museum in South Florida. These are interesting things that Steve Avakoff always comes up with in his Historic Resource Reports. The structure has gone through a number of interior renovations and changes of use since then, but the facade details and curved shape of the intersection has remained intact. We are hoping that this, along with other rays of light on Lincoln Road, will bring Lincoln Road back, because as of October, the occupancy of Lincoln Road leasable space was 73.2%. This matches the low point that Lincoln Road had during the mid-80s, when it coincided with a high murder rate that went on in Miami-Dade County. The tourism declined. That's when that awful Time magazine cover of Paradise Lost was published in the same time period. So Lincoln Road suffered, and the leasable percentage went down. We're hoping now that retail is restructuring, and the pandemic has certainly done a double whammy in addition to the rise in online sales. But we're hoping this application for you all today will certainly increase the percentage and serve as a catalyst for others to follow. Tim at the Lincoln Road Bid is perhaps one of the most hardworking, honest guys around. If anyone could bring it around, it will be him, and the Lincoln Road Bid is in support, and you'll hear from Tim a little bit later. Next slide, please. Next slide. So as Debbie also mentioned, you all granted a COA for the introduction of the active roof deck, including new rooftop elevator and stair enclosures in 2018. Next slide. The HPB also included a number of operational conditions, most importantly the idea that if we do have speakers on the rooftop, they can only play ambient background music, and we don't intend on altering that whatsoever. Next slide, please. Next slide. And you'll have to forgive me, I'm squinting sometimes. I could do this easily at Zoom at home, but now I'm having to look at the PowerPoint up here. It's hard without my glasses, so I'm going to squint every once in a while. So last year, in 2020, the Planning Board granted a conditional use permit for a new 288-seat restaurant with a sidewalk cafe. Similarly, this approval included a number of conditions related to the use, including the outdoor rooftop may operate till 4 a.m. daily, but the outdoor bar counter, although you approved the design, the hours of operation will always be at midnight, absent a variance granted by this board. And as we'll discuss with you all later, that's why we're asking you all to extend the hours of operation from midnight to 3 a.m. Again, we're intending to maintain all of these conditions. I'm not going to read through them all, but as you can see, they're pretty extensive. And the planning board served its purpose quite well there and really limited our ability to be much of a nuisance to anybody. Next slide, please. Next slide. Before I get into public interior, I want to give you all an idea about the tenant. The restaurant For those of you all who have been to Bogota, you know, Bogota, we think Miami's large, but Bogota is about 9 million people, so three times our size. Its population is educated, sophisticated, and they enjoy having a good time. This restaurant is a Colombian-based concept by world-renowned restaurateur Andres Jaramillo. Andres Jaramillo brings to the U.S., this for the very first time, it's called Andres Carne de Reyes. It serves traditional Colombian cuisine, complemented by a vibrant, world-class, exquisite design and upscale ambiance. Considered the top restaurant in Colombia and one of the best in Latin America, it is a must-do experience in visiting the area. The proposed Miami location of Andres Carne de Reyes brings to many of the characteristics of the Colombian restaurant, incorporates it with the unique style of Miami Beach. Some of the things that make this experience interesting, they hire actors and actresses who walk around and interact with all the patrons. Sometimes an actress will come up to a table, approach the husband, and say, really, thanks for last night. I appreciate it. Leading, of course, to a huge kerfuffle at the table and some upset feelings. But it's all done in good fun. And they have live entertainment inside, as you all see from the floor plan. They have a platform stage where they do have live entertainment. And then they are going to be open breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So on Saturday morning, they have a kids' hour where there's a kids' playtime, where the kids enjoy themselves on Saturday morning. I think that this type of entertainment experience is consistent with what the city was thinking way back in 1958. They hired Morris Lapidus to do the design of Lincoln Road, to change it from an auto corridor to a pedestrian experience, not just a mall, but a tourist attraction. People want to be entertained. Morris knew that. And as an example, he brought in piped-in music, which is unusual, but that the suburban malls had that, so why not Lincoln Road? He brought in entertainment venues and live performances. If you flash forward now, 2020, 2021, Miami New Drama tried to do the very same thing with its pop-up, with its vignettes played out in the pop-up stores. I think that was incredibly successful. And we are also taking cues from Mr. Lapidus trying to do a lot of entertainment inside, because we know that in addition to eating, people really do enjoy being entertained. So here you have the slide about the public interior space. No, there's not much left from the fire. Next slide. Next slide, please. This gives you just an idea of the interior. I'm going to go ground floor, mezzanine, third floor. Next slide. And next slide. And this is the rooftop. Next slide. This is the ground floor space. You'll see the platform stage I was talking about. You'll also see there's a wall south of it, which is kind of meant to shield anyone passing by Lincoln Road from kind of looking in and, you know, seeing it. There's a queuing area for patrons. I think the entrance in 2015 fronted on Lincoln Road, but it wasn't there originally. So when Five Napkins came, they shifted the entrance back to the corner. So people will enter the corner, queue in that area, and then enter the restaurant. Next slide, please. You can see this is more of the mezzanine. Next slide. This is the third floor. Next slide. These are some of the interior renderings. You know, in Bogota, they make it much more colorful, but we were able to tell them in the historic district they have to tone it down a little bit, so here they did. They toned it down, used some nice just ceramic tiles, some woods. We're trying to fit in more and complement the historic district. Next slide. Same thing, the 2D drawings of the interiors. Next slide. Next slide. This is what you'll see when you're looking basically at the intersection of Lincoln and Drexel, looking into the restaurant space. You'll see the dividing wall. Again, just trying to keep some privacy, but sufficiently pushed back from the Lincoln Road storefront system. Next slide. Again, just more intimate photographs. On top, I think, is what Five Napkins look like, and on the bottom is what our renderings will look like. Next slide. This is the second request. This is a retractable rooftop canopy. The second, as you all are familiar, is not an enjoyable experience. If you're on the rooftop, either you're baking in the sun or you're getting rained on. So with this type of retractable canopy, especially with the curved moment, trying to match the curve of the building, it fits in really quite nicely. Next slide. And there you see the seating area, only 65 seats up there. Next slide. This is a rendering. One is from Soundscape Park, looking to the south. The other one is if you're standing in front of Miami Beach Community Church. We wanted, on Debbie's guidance, we wanted to give you all a realistic look. You know, if we did the technical look of the line of sight, you wouldn't see it, and that's what's required. But Debbie understands that Lincoln Road is a vast space, so you'll be able to see it, most anything on the rooftop from any direction, whether you're talking about Mila at 800 Lincoln Road or here. So here we want to give you all a realistic idea of what it would look like. Note that it is pushed back. It doesn't hug the parapet wall, and it's in the center. And we, again, try to match the curve of the building. Next slide. As you all can see, it's a nice area with planter boxes on the edges. Again, note the curve. And it's an aluminum structure painted white. The fabric panels retract within each square. And we are going to abide by staff's recommendation that everything must be recessed in terms of lighting and all other things you might want to go with a rooftop canopy. Next slide. Just again, different images of the rooftop canopy. Next slide. A little bit more to give you all a more intimate bird's eye view. Next slide. Next slide. So with regard to this variance, it's unusual because the planning board does control intensity. The planning board usually controls most things, but you all do have this unique ability to vary the hours of operation of outdoor bar counters. The general rule is that they must shut at midnight, absence of variance request. What this board has granted Albion years ago had a variance request to operate their outdoor bar counter till 2. Most recently, I obtained a variance request for Mila to operate its outdoor bar counter till 2. The challenge is, Debbie is correct, that there is an outdoor bar counter immediately beneath on the third floor. But the idea is that waiters and waitresses want to be on top of things and on their patrons right away. If they should have drink orders and have to go down to the third floor bar counter, and each bar counter is meant to sustain the number of patrons on each floor. So if you're dumping the wants of 65 patrons from the rooftop into the third floor, it creates a havoc situation. And then they have the waiters and waitresses going back and up the stairs. We just think it represents a practical difficulty. We are on the north side of Lincoln Road. We're far away from any residential use. We don't think we're going to be a nuisance to anybody. And we just want the restaurant to run as smoothly as possible. Outdoor seating following the pandemic is at a premium. And we just want to be able to serve it as quickly, as efficiently as possible by having the outdoor bar counter open till 3 a.m. You know, we shut at 4 a.m. And those are really all of our requests. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you very much, Michael. So anybody have any comments or questions? Disclosures. I spoke to the applicant via Zoom.
Okay. Do any other board members have any disclosures?
I do. I spoke to the attorneys by phone last week.
Okay. Nancy?
Yes. I spoke.
Who did you speak with?
I spoke to Michael.
Okay. Thank you. Debbie, are there any members of the public online waiting to speak?
Yes, we do have members wishing to speak. Tim, Lincoln Road.
Hi, Tim. Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. You have 2 minutes.
So when I talk to people about the restaurant coming into that location, I refer to it as the Joe Stone Crabs of Columbia. And I think it's going to do wonders for that particular corner of Lincoln Road. But what I think, is interesting is not germane. What is germane is that the Lincoln Road Board of Directors at their July 23rd meeting passed a resolution. And in that resolution, they expressed support for the rooftop trellis. And they also expressed support for the City of Miami Beach and its land use boards to embrace world-class operators, which Carne de Res certainly is, and provide reasonable design and operational flexibility to allow these operators to create elevated experiences for Miami Beach residents and visitors. And I think we have great examples of that in the past, and Mila's, being, you know, one of the best so far. And I think that as Lincoln Road evolves into a more elevated dining experience, any help you can give making Carne de Res a successful operation would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, our next speaker is Omar Morales.
Hi, Omar. Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. You have 2 minutes.
Okay, well, I'm the architect of record on the project, and I'm just online, available to answer any questions. I don't really have a statement to make, but I'd be glad to answer any questions you may have about the project.
Thank you, Omar. And I have to say it's been a privilege to work with Omar. He's a hardworking architect, and this has been a very long process. So if there are any questions, Omar is available for your questions.
Thank you.
Our next speaker is Daniel Seraldo.
Hi, Daniel. Do you swear the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, members of the HB board. Sorry I cannot be there in person because I'm on my way to a grant panel that was scheduled at the same time. However, I wanted to call in and let you all know that we did have a meeting with the applicant and MDPL's advocacy committee. And we do believe in the staff recommendations being the smartest way to go. As far as the variance for a late night, bar, we are sort of trying to go in another direction, I think, in the city. We've all seen, and including at your board, we've seen the issues of these late night party places. And in looking at Lincoln Road, there really aren't too many of those yet. So I think, it's probably a good idea that we not go full stream ahead on 4 a.m. on Lincoln Road when we haven't necessarily been able to control some of those sort of establishments in other neighborhoods. So thank you again for your consideration.
Thank you, Daniel.
Mr. Chair, I see no more speakers on Zoom.
Anyone in the audience have comments?
Just a quick remark, Mr. Chairman, if I could. Thank you, sir. So, each restaurant has a different operator, and this operator is just a refined, Colombian entrepreneur that has no interest in being a party palace. They're going to have some legitimate, incredible entertainment, and the planning board established the cutoff time at 4 a.m. What is before you all is the variance for the hours of operation of the bar counter to go from midnight to 3 a.m. We believe it's appropriate. We want to have the best operations possible, want to keep it seamless, and that's why we're asking for the variance, Mr. Chairman and the board members. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, any other comments? I see none. Debbie?
No, Mr. Chair, I see no other speakers. You can close the public hearing.
Okay, so the public hearing is closed. Board discussion. Who wants to go first? Rick, you want to go down there?
Sure. I think the rooftop use is great, and happy to see it moving forward with this canopy. As for the use, it's been a long time since I have dinner at 3 in the morning, so I'm not sure what that is like in the neighborhood, but I understand there are no residents immediately around the property. So I do think that it makes sense to, keep the bar open if the restaurant is open. So that's more kind of how I feel.
Good. Max.
Thanks. I'm supportive of the staff recommendation for the interior and the retractable awning. One of the questions I was going to have is if you agreed with the recommendation for the speakers and lights, and yeah. that was agreement there. So that leaves the variance. I too was having a bit of a difficult time with this one, understanding the practical difficulty, but I appreciate the clarification and for the operations. I think in this, it's not just about what others on the block are able to do, because I think if that's our justification, then we end up with spiraling problems. But understanding the circumstances specific to this application helped clarify that for me. So I guess just maybe some technical cleanups. I noted a question in the cover letter about seeking clarification on the point about the speakers in the previous order, but I don't see a corresponding statement in the new order about that. So I was wondering if that had just been resolved or if that's something we needed to make sure was.
I think clarified. We talked to Debbie and resolved it.
Okay.
That came from me just being careful, and I always consider Debbie to be right, so I just ask her.
Okay. And yeah, just wanted to acknowledge too, another question that was on my mind was about the proximity to Soundscape Park and their outdoor music, and you addressed that as well. So I think that covered all my concerns. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Laura?
I agree. I loved the history, especially of Robert Little, the architect. So I really appreciated that you guys went that extra step. I really saw the effort in the new terrazzo tiles and the interior, so again, appreciate that, and the detail of the recessed canopy and the systems and how those work in the architectural set. I do agree with the Lincoln Road, I think it was the BID director who said it is meant to be vibrant and have unique experiences, so I do appreciate that. I think Lincoln Road is such a special historical place and really a commercial node of the city. So it, in my opinion, it is a little bit in, I wouldn't say danger, but it is kind of becoming a pedestrian mall that looks like any other major tourist destination across the world. So I do appreciate that this would be, you know, a unique place within Miami Beach. My question is for the speakers, you say that they're micro speakers and the ambient noise would only be, you know, is it measured by a certain decibel? Like, how is that monitored? How is that defined?
So Miami Beach took a different approach than Miami. Mm-hmm. And instead of having a decibel standard, you always ask the question, the negative. It's music cannot be played at a volume that disrupts normal conversation.
Okay.
That's the standard. And if you meet that standard, then you're not entertainment. But if you have to yell at each other across the table, it's entertainment, and we would be seeking an outdoor entertainment approval from the planning board. But I can use all sorts of different subjective phrases, but it is ambient background music, which, you know, I hate being at a restaurant anyways, and then having to, even the most tame restaurants nowadays, it seems like they play their music too loud for Abuelo here.
Right.
So I'm just like, I don't like it. So, you know, upstairs and the rooftop, it'll be ambient background music.
Okay. In that, I mean, again, subjective, but in that case, you know, to support the business, and if they feel that 3 a.m. is appropriate during certain times, then I would be supportive of that variance.
Great, thank you.
Thank you, Laura. Nancy?
You all said what I would like to say, but I'll add a little bit. I have been one who was not happy with these restaurants that come out and they're blasting and they don't, you know, they don't agree with what the rules and regulations are. And I think
Nancy, I'm sorry to interrupt. Can you put the mic a little bit closer to you?
I thought you were going to tell me I didn't have it on.
No, you have it on. It's just too far away.
So, you know, I have always been afraid of all the noise and commotion that we are having, and it seems to be the only thing we're having. It's this outdoor noise and people just trying to get more and more and more people who aren't really secure. I went to see I couldn't see the restaurant. I went to see the building. The building is beautiful. I was amazed, and I've been past there all the time, but somehow they have now wrapped it in this beautiful paper. I mean, it's so if they're able to do that, I figured they must have something going for them on the outside. And I feel that it's not going to be. I think maybe it's going to be the first one that is a real full-service restaurant. Obviously, they're going to be open almost 24 hours.
Yeah.
And they have something for everyone. It's not going to just be a party place like most of them. Some of those rooftops need to be a little tightened. And it's not going to be a party place, so I had to really dig down deep and change my feelings about this particular project. I think it's a new beginning. Michael, we expect you to make it a new beginning.
Yes, ma'am.
For Miami Beach.
When Liebman gives you a stern warning like that, you have no choice but to agree.
Oh, right. I'll be watching. All right, so I wholeheartedly support it, and I welcome the new people who are coming here to create this wonderful place for us. So thank you.
Thank you, Nancy.
Okay.
Okay. I met with the applicant, and I think it's a fabulous proposal. The only thing that I have a question about, and it's a relatively minor thing, I'm just curious as to where on page A109, it shows the actual roof deck, where the figure 14 foot 3 inches comes from. Is that a requirement of the city as a setback, or is that just something that works out because of the tables? And if it works out just because of the tables, the next question would be, the building is so fantastically curvilinear, and the upper, where this deck is, everything is, I'm sorry, is curved. Mm-hmm. This upper deck is all rectilinear, which to me kind of is a little in conflict with the rest of the building. Mm-hmm. I would personally like it much better if the corner there, where the table is in the upper left-hand corner, could be curved as well. I think it would be consistent with the rest of the building, but I certainly wouldn't object to it the way it is. I just think that it would be very cool to have all the curves be the same. But the roof is done that way, but the actual little hedge thing, whatever that is not.
I understand. And I just talked to the owner.
That's not going to hold me up at all.
No, it's fine. We can adopt that as additional condition of approval. I just talked to the owner. He can curve the seating area.
I mean, I don't want to impose something that
the
people haven't. I just thought it would look
nice. It's a good idea. It's clever.
But I'm all for it. I think it's spectacular. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I agree with, I think, pretty much everything my colleagues on the board have said. And in particular, Debbie, you're having clarified that there really aren't any residential buildings that are at risk of impact from sound. The one other question I wanted to clarify is this approval, and I think it's a really exciting project. It's an excellent building. Excited to see it go back into active use. Just wanted to ask, does this approval for the variance for the rooftop bar operation, does that stay with the building, or is it specific to the operator?
It would stay with the building, with the property. If there was a new operator, it would still be a valid variance. That is something that you may be able to put a condition in, that if a new operator were to take over the restaurant, that they appear before you. Not necessarily to avoid, to reapply for the variance, but just to affirm that they are familiar with all of the conditions in the order and that they would abide by them.
Okay. I'd like to add that to the order if the board's okay with that. And with that in mind, I'm if I could just move the item at this point.
Okay, we will. Mr. Larkin, is your client okay with that? If there's a new operator, that they shall return to the board to affirm the conditions in the order?
Yes, it's already in the planning board order, but there's no reason why there shouldn't be dual authority over it, so no problem.
So we will adopt that condition in the planning board order to also be applicable to the Historic Preservation Board. We will need two motions, Mr. Pascal, one for the certificate of appropriateness and an additional motion for the variances.
So I'll move the COA first with that condition added, right? That doesn't go with the variance, correct, or it does?
That should go with the variance.
With the variance, okay. So I'm moving the condition, or I'm sorry, the COA.
With staff conditions?
Staff conditions, yes. And With Jack's condition added, right?
On yes, the, that's
that
fine.
The seating area of the deck shall follow the same curve of mm-hmm. the of the canopy, basically, above.
Correct.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Lopez. Let me call the roll. Mr. Litt?
Yes.
Ms. Weinstein-Berman?
Yes.
Ms. Liebman?
Yes.
Mr. Lopez?
Yes.
Mr. Pascal?
Yes.
Mr. Finglas?
Yes.
Okay, the certificate of appropriateness has been approved. Do I have a second motion?
So I'll move the variance to approve the variance, adding the condition that should a new operator move into the property that they will be subject to coming to before the board to reaffirm that that variance would stay in place at that time.
Okay, we have a motion in a second. Let me call the roll. Mr. Lopez?
Yes.
Mr. Litt?
Yes.
Ms. Weinstein-Berman?
Yes.
Ms. Liebman?
Yes.
Mr. Pascal?
Yes.
Mr. Finglas?
Yes.
Motion passes. Congratulations.
Thank you all for your time. Approved.
Okay, moving on to our final application of the day. This is HPB 210472915 Washington Avenue. An application has been filed requesting a certificate of appropriateness for modifications to the second level roof deck, including the construction of two additions and the installation of a retractable canopy structure. I think probably most of you are familiar with this particular property. It is the Moxie Hotel, a substantial renovation, partial demolition, and restoration project, including the approval of the new seven-story hotel addition, was approved by the board in 2017. Since that time, the project has been completed. This particular application is regarding the active roof deck located at the second level, which is along, closer to Washington Avenue side. So they have, I believe they have an upper level roof deck. This is only looking at that second level roof deck, which is east of the retained historic facades that were restored as part of the project. The first request regarding the two small additions, again, these are very minor additions, approximately a little bit over 200 square feet total for a prep kitchen and a storage room in order for the food and beverage establishment that's located here to operate more efficiently. Both structures have been set back from Washington Avenue. We believe they will be minimally, if at all, visible from the opposite side of Washington Avenue, and we have no objections to the request to introduce these two small rooftop additions at that second level. Additionally, the applicant is requesting an extremely extensive canopy structure system. It is in two parts. A smaller portion is proposed to be located at the western edge of the roof deck, and a larger portion is proposed to be located on the to the south of the lounge, resulting in about 116-foot continuous canopy structure along the western edge of the roof deck. We also note in our staff report that in 2020, I think it was at the end of last year, the board did approve a more decorative arbor structure within this roof deck area. And now what they're proposing is to kind of cover that arbor structure with this kind of new, much larger, more intense canopy structure. So we have noted some serious concerns about the extent of this structure, its proximity to the restored historic facades. And we have been working with the applicant. And we did have a series of recommendations over the past several months, probably close to 6 months now, that we think would result in a significant improvement, both in relationship to the contributing facades, as well as the entire district. And we've outlined those recommendations in our staff report. They could include a reduction in the height of the canopy. It could potentially include the elimination of the previously approved decorative trellis so that we don't have that kind of overlapping situation. Potentially the creation of smaller individual structures, which is something the board has looked at. If you look at the Mila, which was mentioned in the previous application at 800 Lincoln Road, they were kind of a series of smaller, more furniture-like canopy structures. The applicant could also explore an increased setback from the western edge, so it's not, you know, hovering over the historic facades, and that would also significantly decrease the visibility of the structure. We also are recommending that they potentially explore more architectural solution that would be consistent with the design of the existing rooftop lounge overhang, that extending more of a concrete architectural feature in order to provide some additional coverage. But as currently proposed, we do believe it will have an adverse impact on the district. And so we are recommending that this particular application be continued so that we have more time to work with the applicant to come up with something that we could support. And that's the canopy portion. We're not recommending a bifurcation. However, that's something the board could discuss in with the applicant, because the two small additions we are supportive of, and we don't believe we need any more information on those structures. That is all I have, Mr. Chair, but I am available for any questions you may have.
Thank you very much, Debbie. Good morning.
Good morning. With that rousing show of support, Graham, Penbrook, Howard, Del Fernandez, Larkin, Tappanis. At the outset, as Debbie said, we have two elements to this application, the small additions and the canopy. So if the board is agreeing with staff's position, and we think we have made significant changes in the direction of Debbie's concerns, and we're going to show you those as we get there, we would ask that the application be bifurcated to at least allow the small additions to go forward now, and we can come back and show you the revisions to the new one. To the canopy structure. So let me introduce the rest of our team, and I'm going to be as brief as I can and get our architect, Mr. Sean Saladino, up here as soon as I can. Sean's firm focuses on creating first-class food and beverage concepts throughout the United States, and he's been in charge of the food and beverage design for the Moxie, which we think has been a fantastic success. Greg Iannacone, I hope I pronounced that somewhat correctly, representing the owner, Lightstone, and then Gabe Rivera, who's the food and beverage director of the Moxie. Can we put up the slides, please, PJ? And I just realized I cut myself shaving this morning, and I didn't notice it until now. Next slide. This, again, just shows you the pre and post of the development project. Actually, this is the first floor and the second floor, as Debbie indicated. Second floor, which is the darker area, is what we're talking about now, which is the Serena restaurant, which, as I'll show you, has been a fantastic success since it's opened less than a year ago. Next slide. A couple of views from the street coming up. So this is across the street, looking directly at the restaurant structure. You can see it there in the middle of the slide. Already, because of the landscaping program, it is basically invisible, and especially in this view, you can't see anything at all. Next slide, PJ. That's where it is. So you can see basically right now, it's been hidden significantly by the existing, and the landscaping is only going to get better. At the same time, I'd like to remind everyone, because some of our renderings are a little bit basic. There is no proposal to change any of the historical elements. All the facades are remaining exactly as they are, which is all the first level facades. Next slide. As Debbie indicated, we were last before you in late 2020, before the hotel opened, for this decorative arbor that has been installed on the second floor rooftop. Second floor has been approved since the inception of the project with the food and beverage on the north and the pool deck on the south. So the Serena is taking that, was approved basically as a bar, but is now a full high-class restaurant. Next slide. So again, our two requests, the food prep storage area, which we'd ask you to approve today, and the protective canopy. Next. That's the footprint of the two small additions. The one on the upper end is the storage, and the food prep is the lower. Next slide. Here's your elevation of the two structures. We have no objection to staff's suggestion to remove the decorative tile on the roof of the food prep area. Next slide. So just a little bit about Serena. I hope that some of you have the opportunity to visit it. It has been, we've been open for less than a year, but it has been a great success. Well lauded in the press and by the public. Next slide. Just some of our reviews. Some of these, I think these are emblematic of our success and the issue with the space. If you look at the one on the right, reminding us that this use has been a significantly different kind of operation than we're concerned about in South Beach. Bottom left, it reminds us of why we're here. Those folks couldn't sit because they got rained out, because that's the problem that we've had operationally, is that the business cannot function when it rains, and that's what this canopy is designed to solve. Next slide. Again, that's the problem, right? We have inadequate weather protection, period, from sun, from rain. Next. So this is, again, that view of the... as soon as the project was complete, right? You can see the arbor that you approved. Everything looks beautiful. Next slide. These are the efforts that have been the operation has had to do to protect customers and everything on the roof. You can see we've got umbrellas after umbrellas that have to be rolled in there to cover tables to protect people. We've had to layer umbrellas over umbrellas. We've also had to install a bunch of obtrusive fans to avoid it being too hot up there. Next slide. Same thing here. This is along the edge of Washington. You can see, again, what the steps they've been forced to take to protect patrons, which this uniform canopy system is designed to address. Next. And again, same thing. Next view. So at this point, let me turn it over to Gabe briefly before we get Sean up here, because I want Gabe to, as the director of food and beverage, I want him to take you through the real-world consequences of the current situation we're in, and then we'll ask Sean to take you through the first design and then the new proposed design, and then we want to hear what the board thinks. Gabe, please.
Good morning, members of the board. Morning. It has been quite the challenge to actually deal with Miami weather. We actually have this beautiful restaurant that we've opened shy of a year, probably last February, which has actually taken off and has captured a great deal of the locals from the mainland coming into an area of South Beach where before it was not too popular or as of late. We're also capturing a great deal of business from other areas of South Beach, such as hotels located on the northern side of Collins Avenue, such as the W Hotel, One Hotel, St. Regis even. So with this kind of, pardon me, with this canopy, what we were trying to accomplish is basically keeping that concept of the restaurant and the integrity of the restaurant and protecting the guests and employees from the inclement weather of Miami that happens from months of April all through the summer. So unfortunately, the amount of steps that we've had to take in order to protect our guests, as you saw from the slides with the fans to basically calm the heat during the day, and then the umbrellas, which only work temporarily. Once it rains, those umbrellas accumulate water, and it only takes a little bit of wind to actually dump all of the water into a passing customer. So that's basically been the challenge. And what I'd like to see is, you know, this type of permanent solution so that we can have continuance in our business and continue to bring the clientele that we want to bring to this area of South Beach.
Thank you, Gabe. And Gabe's available for any questions you may have. So at this point, I'll stop blathering, although we're going to take an 8 minutes, and ask Mr. Saladino to take you through. We're going to need some additional time, Mr. Chair, to allow Sean to go through.
Good morning, guys. Thank you. So I'm here today purely to tell you guys that obviously the design is the design, right? The necessity for this, because I'm a Miami Beach guy from years and years and years, the importance of having an operation like this to Miami Beach is very, very important. It's bringing a clientele that Miami Beach wants. And ultimately, the question would be, why didn't you guys think of this from the beginning? The idea is purely something to keep the operational functional and keep this operator afloat. This business has generated and brought in an amazing clientele. It's brought in an amazing crowd, and it's done really well. So to address the staff comments first and foremost, we've looked at this every which way possible. So to reduce the height of the main structure, we brought it at a gabled angle, and we brought it from originally proposed 16 feet down to 12 feet at the western edge of Washington Avenue. So we feel that that's brought it down as close as we can to the outside Washington Avenue side. The elimination of a previously approved canopy, what we wanted to do and what we were trying to create is that once you're inside the space, we wanted to immerse you in the experience. We wanted you to feel like you're inside Miami Beach, but you're also in this incredibly designed, very well landscaped, well lit experience that's something different. It's not a traditional type restaurant that you would see somewhere else. It's a true experience. So that canopy is part of the furniture. It's become part of the experience, and it's there's a lot to it. It's very well landscaped with bougainvillea intertwined into the trellis arms and decorative elements that we've added. It's also one of the main light sources, and when you're sitting there having dinner underneath it, it really gives you the feeling of, you know, that you're being, you know, that you're sitting inside some place, maybe in Mexico City or somewhere very similar to that. The creation of the smaller individual canopy structures, that doesn't really work for the way that the rooftop is laid out. And the reason why that doesn't work is because the rooftop is laid out in a way that's very, it's rectilinear and it's set up so that the seating is congregated in the main area where we can really put it. To make smaller structures would do two things. One, it wouldn't allow for the rain runoff that these canopies collect, but it also, in my opinion, create a life safety issue or fire hazard because of the multiple columns that we would have to add to the individualized structures. The way the seating's laid out and repurposing the seating wouldn't necessarily work. The increased setback or the move away from the Washington Avenue side. Well, as we all know that it rains in Miami sideways and we're on the second floor, pushing it away from the western edge, which to us, and you can see in the last slide that said, you know, it's an amazing view, would really take away from the majority of the seating that we're trying to cover. So that really doesn't necessarily work no matter what we do to relook at this. I honestly wouldn't be standing here if this wasn't a necessity because, in my opinion, adding something else to this, this is not a vanity project for us. This is something to do to keep the business open and operational. So that's truly why we're here. And then the exploration of more architectural solutions. We've really looked at this in any way possible to create something that would create rain protection. And there's just not a lot of products out there on the market that, you know, would allow for this type of solution, rain coverage, but still be able to be operable and open during the times where we don't need that. And that's the key to this, is because we want people to have the rooftop experience. We want them to understand that they are on a rooftop and not feel like they're under a covered structure.
So with that, Sean, we'll go through these quickly.
Next. Yeah, sorry about that.
Again, those are three big benefits, we think, from having a uniform system. We get rid of all the clutter you get from the fans, because we can attach the fans to this. We get rid of all the umbrellas, which are visible from the street as well. Next slide. So here's just the cross section of the design that's in your sets. And we want to focus you on the revision that we made that was designed to be responsive to Debbie's concerns, which you haven't seen. That's why we're getting there. So next. Again, that's the rendering showing you the one that's in your set. Next line. Again, the opposite direction. Next slide. And of course, those renderings exclude all the landscaping that we saw there in real life. So next. Okay, so Sean, why don't you take us through how the amended version would work?
So the view you're looking at here is a plan view, obviously. The area that's highlighted in yellow shows the retraction of the canopy. So the idea is that we've set back on the eastern side as far as we can to the centerline beam, and those areas that are showing in different stages of retraction are meant to give you the experience that this rooftop will retract back to the centerline gable gutter, and that will completely retract into itself to give you the open view when it's not in use. This canopy will be open 99% of the time that there's no bad weather or inclement weather, and there's no obscenely hot, overbearing heat from the sun during the day. This is a daytime operation. It does offer lunch. It does offer those type of services, so it does function as a restaurant during the daytime, so it is important as that. Next slide, please. This is the structure that you see, the way it is viewed from the street. We've taken a lot of time and energy to make sure that the vertical fins or the vertical columns that are shown here that align with the vertical fins of the building. We've also paint matched the powder-coated aluminum to match the color of the building, as well as the canvas that's going to retract. The view you're seeing is it completely open and retracted. So all of that will be matched to the exact color of the building. And I want to stress that we are doing nothing to the historic facade of the building. We're not attaching to it. We're not connecting to it. We're not doing anything. Actually, the attachment point is set back past the parapet and past the decorative planters that are above the historic facade. Next slide, please. Again, this is just to reiterate, the historic facade is to remain the same. Next slide.
And to show you the landscaping that's there already.
This is an internal view, and again, these are poor renderings, but this shows you what this will look like. Please focus only on the awning above. So that is it in its different stages of retraction. This gives you an idea of what it would look like. This is not fully retracted. It would retract back another 6 to 8 feet. So it would give you the open air sky. What you're seeing on the western side are the rain screens. Those would only be implemented, and they're on rain sensors, when it does rain. Those would never be down unless it is rain. And the idea is that we've taken a lot of time to develop a fabrics and a furniture plan that doesn't just feel like something we bought off the shelf. So what we've done with this is that the fabrics are all cloth fabrics. They're all very beautifully vibrant, and they fit very much with the color scheme of Miami Beach. The idea is that the minute it rains, even for a few minutes, they're completely soaked and wet. So we want to enclose this if it does rain, to protect the fabric, so as soon as it does stop raining, we can open it back up and we don't lose any seating or any customers. Next slide, please. This view here is not 100% accurate. We're not proposing any type of door or enclosure, but this would give you the idea of what it looks like completely retracted. This is not a great representation because there's no landscaping in the foreground, which are all those planters. All of this would be enclosed. The landscaping is grown in very nicely, and it's very beautiful. The majority of this you wouldn't even see. That's from the south side looking north. That's on hotel property. That would not be visible from the street. Next slide, please. This is another view. Again, showing you partial stages of the rain screen going down. Again, this would only be implemented during times of rain. It would never be down at any time during normal business operation. Next slide, please. And this is an aerial view, obviously showing you different stages of retraction. Again, it's a white structure. It's all paint matched to the color of the building. And it would just, you know, be blended in as much as we could to the building. And that's pretty much it on this view. Next slide, please. I think that's it. Okay.
Those, again, as Sean said in his initial statement, the amended system is designed to be responsive to the concerns that we heard from the department. And, of course, what we'd like to hear the board's opinion, obviously, about whether or not we're getting close, whether or not that you share the same concerns. But the goal here is that, at minimum, if we can bifurcate and get the two small structures approved, we can move forward on that. And once we hear what you have to say, if we have to come back, that we have the guidance of the board in doing that. So our whole team is here for any questions you may have, and I'd like to reserve time for rebuttal.
Sure, thank you. Debbie?
If the board members do not have any questions for the applicant, we can move to open the public hearing.
And before we hear from the public, do any board members have any ex parte communications to disclose? Hi. Nancy? Who did you speak with? With the applicant, okay.
About that project.
Got it. Anybody else? Okay. Debbie, is there anyone online?
Yes. Our first caller is Daniel Soraldo.
Hi, Daniel. You have 2 minutes. You remain under oath.
Okay, thank you. Daniel Soraldo with Miami Design Preservation League. So we did meet with the applicant and review their plans. We have concerns, just like the staff, about the size of the proposed canopy. It kind of feels like another kind of enclosed area. I don't know if they have any FAR left, but it starts to feel like an indoor room. And it also has an impact because it's not set back. It's very overwhelming the way it's currently proposed. In addition, we were surprised that they had not yet met with Flamingo Park Neighborhood Association, and we asked that they do that after this is continued. You know, even though there might not be residents across the street, you'd be surprised how quickly sound travels in the city. And so we look forward to further refinement, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Daniel. Anybody else online?
No, Mr. Chair, I do not see anyone else wishing to comment.
Anybody in the chamber? Yes, hi. Come forward, please.
Hi, my name is Troy Wright, Executive Director of the Washington Avenue Business Improvement District. It's obvious there are a lot of positive things happening on Washington Avenue, and I think one of the most positive things that have happened in a long time is the Moxie Hotel. I am a local. I live here. I'm excited about being here, and I'm excited about the changes. But I look at this as an experience. And one thing that we're trying to establish on Washington Avenue is a positive experience. We want to attract an upscale audience. And I'll be honest, it's difficult to get an upscale audience if you don't have an upscale experience. It doesn't matter where you come from or what you do. I say it all the time. People come to South Florida to get married, to celebrate life, to make decisions about what they want to do in their job, where they want to go in the future, if they want to move to South Florida. I had an experience at the Moxie recently where I was there with some very affluent friends from Amazon, and we literally had to move because the rain was a serious issue. They were poking the umbrellas with a stick in order so that their crowd and the people would not get wet. So this is about an experience, and if we want to maintain or attract a positive group of people that have a positive experience, I think this is something that we need. Another thing is, you know, I like the way the Moxie is going about, you know, proceeding with the activities on the avenue. If you've noticed, you know, Miami Beach has had a challenge with too many tattoo parlors, too many smoke shops, too many barbershops, too many of whatever shops we want to say. But one thing that I have seen from the Moxie is they are dedicated to creating something that everyone, not just Washington Avenue, but everyone can enjoy. So I think something like this will allow and maintain a great group of people that we are looking for, that we are in desperate need of on Washington Avenue. So the Washington Avenue Business Improvement District gives the Moxie a 100% vote, and I hope that you feel the same way. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Have you seen none? Public comment is closed. Moving on to board comment. You want to go, Kirk?
Jack, if I could just briefly.
Sorry.
One bit of housekeeping. I don't think Mr. Saladino was sworn in. Since I'm being a stickler.
I can swear you in. Do you swear that the testimony you've given is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
And just as to Mr. Seraldo's comment, he's correct. We met with the advocacy committee, and we have committed to meeting with Flamingo. I just want to note, this use has zero code enforcement record whatsoever since it opened. So this has been the best citizen on Washington Avenue. And that's why we are so adamant about making it succeed. And we'd like your help in doing that. So we're here for your comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Debbie?
It's up to the board if you would like to discuss or if you have any questions.
Who would like to discuss this first? Rick?
Yeah, thanks. I guess I'll start. Good morning. Thank you for your presentation and for your the whole team's effort to bring new life to Washington. It's an exciting project, and I definitely understand the needs that you all described for your use. It is no surprise, you know, that we have to deal with rain, you know. So that's why I think everybody can understand. Certainly it's something that, you know, one would have anticipated, right? I mean, it's not a surprise. And I understand you need it, and I think it should go forward, you know. That being said, I do think it's worth discussing, because we've seen a number of these canopies come up over the few years that I've been here. And, they're usually kind of tucked away and discreet. This one happens to be much more visible. I think if you compare the height of the structure to the height of the existing historic building underneath, it's something like 50% of the height. I mean, you know, it's there. And as Daniel mentioned, you know, it is, it's visible. It looks, you know, like a new volume. Of course, when the canopy is open, it's a lot of area. Of course, it's a great help to have it, but it does impact the the view from the street, you know, what we see from the street. So I think it does make sense for us to discuss it and you know, see it for what it is, which I think is a kind of a temporary permanent structure. I mean, from the preservation point of view, we would say, yeah, okay, they're going to install this, they're going to use it for whatever number of years they're in operation. And, you know, it can be removed, right? It's not really going to disturb the character of the architecture, except that it's going to be like another floor level on top of it, you know, set back a few feet, of course, because you've got that buffer. But I think it's something that, like I said, we've been seeing, and I think that there will be a time that will come where people will anticipate this and plan for it and make it part of the permanent architecture. And that I would be really excited to see, you know. What would be the really thoughtful architectural solution to make this work, to protect your patrons from the rain, from the weather, in a kind of permanent way, right? Like if we were in Paris in the 1900, they would come up with something different than an aluminum tube that you go to a vendor, you say, I need so many square feet, boom, 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 you know. They're probably providing the same carport for someone in La Sauceda, you know, part of town. And so I wish there was something more architecturally thoughtful than just the same kind of, out of the catalog kind of canopy. So that's it. I mean, I understand the need. I think it should go forward. But I do feel like it is a little bit inadequate given the kind of thoughtful design that the Moxie has already put up, the quality of the historic architecture that we see in the reports, you know. that really kind of make a permanent contribution to the city. This is giving a temporary fix so that your clientele can keep on coming back. I mean, it serves, you know, the business, and I guess it helps the community to some extent, but, you know, architecturally, I think, you know, I wish we would see more.
Thanks. Yeah, I agree with Rick's points. I don't think I could say it as eloquently, so I'll sign on to that, to Rick's points. But I hear the operational concern and the urgency associated with it, and I'd like to see a compatible and integrated resolution given the importance of the rooftop. I would be in support of, like we talked about bifurcating this, if we could take a bit more time on the design to be thoughtful if it's, you know, another month or so, just to be able to, this solution does feel expedient, which I think is the goal, but this board has an obligation to ensure the compatibility with the building and the district. I think spending, if we could separate it out, because I don't really have much to say, you know, I'm supportive of the prep area and the other area that are sort of less prominent. I was initially kind of concerned with the layering of the trellis that we talked about before with this canopy above, but I think I'm okay with that concept because really the baseline condition that you're going for is that the retractable is going to be open most of the time, right? So I think it really just comes down to, you know, if we can get, you know, address the design of that extensive canopy to get something, again, because it does feel like a fixture, you know, on the building. Thanks.
Thank you. Laura?
Thank you so much for your presentation. You know, it's, I totally empathize, and I do think preservationists are super pro-business, so I do want to dispel that myth. However, you know, and functional spaces are good spaces. We want vibrancy. We want people to be inhabiting these buildings. You know, the dichotomy is always, do you want a vacant historic structure, or do you want a structure that maybe there's some compromise there? But, you know, ultimately, I think this is something pretty permanent, in my opinion, and deciding on it could potentially set a precedent. I do think that the visibility from the street, for me, is a bit problematic, and I would be more comfortable if you guys came up with a better solution in a couple months. I think, you know, what you have is October, November, December. The weather's a bit better, so I think waiting a couple months and coming back with a more thoughtful solution, more fleshed out, that we can all review ahead of time as well, I think would be more appropriate. So that's my opinion, but thank you so much.
Thank you, Nancy. Okay.
I will say that this is one of the first times I have sat here. I know we only have two projects. It is the first time that I have sat here with the feeling that, yes, South Beach has something coming up that's going to make it a better place than it is now. Up until now, I have felt like we were going to lose that area forever. But it's such a circumstance that both of you have appeared here today with the exact same, not project, obviously, but the exact same plan to upgrade and bring a better experience for this community. So I am totally in favor of all of it. I was there, and I went there, I think it was like an early afternoon. No, it was still the morning. It was early. And I had to sit there with my white face. I had nothing. I didn't understand what I was going to see because it was all outside. The place is beautiful. The interior, the way it's designed, the way it's covered, is wonderful. And I stood out there, and I was just awed by the fact that there's hope for Miami Beach to come back. And I applaud both of you. I applauded the other ones. This is the best of all of the meetings that I've been in. And I hope that we're going to hear more of that rather than, you know, when I hear canopy, everybody who's on this board knows I have denied myself each one of the canopies, because in my mind, the canopies are all down on Ocean Drive in the noise-making crowd, and taking over one of the canopies goes across the street practically, and the noise. So it was a pleasure. It was a pleasure. Thank you for taking me to see that, and I applaud your effort in what you're trying to do. I think it's worthwhile for you to listen. Cage. One of these days we'll be out of the cage when things get better. But I look forward to what you come back with, and I know that you're going to find it. The rooftop is beautiful. The foliage, everything is really beautiful there. But at the time I was there, they had how many, 12, 15, it seemed like hundreds of umbrellas, just the plain white umbrellas, that when the wind blew, they blew. It was just a pathetic thing that had to happen. So I know from watching you, I do believe that you're going to find the right and do it faster than waiting. How many months did somebody say? You wanted 2 months? At 2 months the most, and bring it back so we can begin to show this community that there is hope in what's going on, especially down in those areas. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you, Nancy.
So my feelings on this project are not at all as ambivalent as a lot of folks are, and that's because I've had the pleasure of being on this board and having stood in front of the site before anything was touched, and when this was sort of a part of a new vision for Washington Avenue, and you know, the aggregation of all of these little individual storefronts and the scale, it was all something new. And it was something that, I mean, I want to commend and applaud staff. I want to applaud the applicant. It was something that, as a board member, I was very nervous about, wanting to see Washington Avenue go the right way. And the applicant, I mean, you all were pioneers. And I want to say that I was supportive of the project at every step along the way, because originally we had the original structure, then the trellis that came in front of us separately. But I was nervous, too. I was nervous that we had gone about it the right way and that we had done a good job. And in the end, I'm excited with the project and how it came out. All the components of it, I think, were really well thought out and well considered by staff, by the applicant, by all of the designers involved. And with that said, the operational success of this project is obviously it's of paramount importance, not just the design and the aesthetics of it. I want to say that at every step along the way, I did feel that there was a lot of nuanced and detailed consideration. I remember every little detail of every aspect of this project was well considered. And I heard what Rick said regarding it not being permanent, And that's true, and I think that's often a consideration. I heard what Laura said about precedent, and I'm concerned about that. I don't think this is only about the historic structures. I think this is about the future vision for Washington Avenue. And so far, I feel like as pioneers, the applicants have done an amazing job. I just happen to agree with staff that what's currently proposed, the awning, I feel like it's oppressive. I feel like it's a little overwhelming to the historic structures. The little tiniest of details on the friezes that we worked so hard to ensure were well considered and had proper respect in the scheme of this, you know, much larger scale structure. And suddenly now I'm looking at this and feeling like, it's a little too oppressive. It's a little too much. And I think that staff has made some great recommendations. And I agree that taking a little bit of time to get it right and to continue to set a good precedent for what Washington Avenue can be, I know you could do a great job. You've done a great job with every single aspect of this property so far. You've been amazing leaders and pioneers. I know that with a little bit more thought and consideration that you could do a great job of it, and I want you to, and I want you to be successful. And I so appreciate the work you've put into this project so far. I think you're making this board look good, you know, in terms of creating a vision for Washington Avenue. In terms of the bifurcation, I agree with staff's recommendation on the auxiliary structures. I'm assuming that staff doesn't have a problem with bifurcating.
It wasn't our recommendation, so we don't have a draft order. But if the board wants to consider that today, I don't have any issues with that. Ask that if you do consider that the applicant has already agreed to a condition to simplify the design, including the removal of the barrel tile roofing.
Confirmed, yes. We've agreed to it.
And I agree with that as well. So thank you.
Thank you, Kirk. Mine will be short. I agree with Rick 100%, and I agree with the staff, so that's all I need to say. I think it needs some more work. I think it's something about it just, I can't put my finger on it, but something about it in its present form really kind of bothers me. I don't know what it is. I think it's a little bit too much. That's my only comment. And I think working with staff, you can get something that will be, as Nancy says, spectacular. So that's my thought. Thank you. Do I have a motion from someone?
Can I make a motion to bifurcate, to approve the auxiliary structures as a separate item? Can we do that simply, Debbie? And we want to include staff's recommendations to remove the barrel tile and simplify the structure, which is subject to staff review and approval, correct? Is that
correct?
Be the terms?
So what I would recommend is that we have a motion to approve with the condition to simplify and remove the barrel tile of the structures, also to include all of the general terms and conditions in the order, which is Roman numeral 3 in our typical orders. And then we will also include a condition in the order approving the little rooftop additions that the retractable canopy structure design be returned to this board with a date certain, which you can determine now. And then when we get that back, if that gets approved, we can consolidate both items into one order. So I would recommend that if it's the will of the board to continue the canopy structures, that be to the December 13th meeting. So we have time to work with the applicant.
But are we moving this as one motion?
Yes.
Then? Okay, so I'll move that.
I will second that.
I will call the roll. Mr. Litt?
Yes.
Ms. Weinstein-Berman?
Yes.
Ms. Liebman?
Yes.
Mr. Lopez?
Yes.
Mr. Pascal?
Yes.
Mr. Finglas?
Yes.
All right.
Thank you again.
Half approved. Congratulations.
Partial congratulations. Debbie, what's the deadline for me for the
We'll determine that and get back to you. We'll send you an email because I do think it's a good idea for us to meet again and kind of go through some ideas, which I'm more than happy to do. And I agree with the board. I just want to say it is a beautiful project, and you know, we're really excited that you're part of the community, and we're going to work as hard as we can over the next month or so to get to the point where the board can feel comfortable approving the structure.
Thank you, guys. Thanks again, everyone.
Thank you. Okay, we have 1.5 items for discussion.
We have one discussion item that's on the agenda, which was requested by you, Mr. Chair, regarding the Venetian Islands Homeowners Association resolution, which we sent to you as part of your package. I don't know if anyone from the Homeowners Association is on Zoom. I don't see anyone in the audience. If there's anyone from the Venetian Island Homeowners that would like to address the board, please raise your hand. In general, I don't know if many of you are familiar with the Venetian Causeway, but it is a local historic site. It does begin in the city of Miami's jurisdiction, and then as you go east, it changes to the city of Miami Beach's jurisdiction. So it is locally designated by the city as an individual historic site, the Miami Beach portion. It is also designated within the city of Miami as a historic site, and it is also listed on the National Register of Historic Places. I think some of you, Nancy, I know you're very familiar with FDOT and their discussions over the past, I would say, 6 years, maybe longer.
Forever.
It is a county-owned roadway. The right-of-way is county-owned. However, FDOT has been partnering with the county to come up with different alternatives to either repair or replace the existing structure. There's been community meetings, I think, relatively frequently over the past 5 or 6 years with different stakeholders. The city has been involved. Nancy, I know you were involved in some of those meetings. The city of Miami is also involved in those discussions, as well as Miami-Dade County. And the Venetian Islands statement is basically they are opposed to the privatization of the toll facility. Now, the good news is that was already... after they had discussed that and came up with these positions, the Miami-Dade County actually took that off of the table. So that is no longer going to be an option. And so I know that the homeowners were pleased about that decision. And the second recommendation that the homeowners associations have is regarding the East Basco Bridge and the appropriateness of demolishing and rebuilding that potentially at a higher height. I would caution the board from getting too specific in terms of your discussion or recommendations, since this is a locally historic designated site. Any demolition or reconstruction would require an application to be brought to this board to have an official action. So we don't want to presume too much without seeing the entire application and all of the evidence that could be presented, including public comment at a quasi-judicial hearing. So I think you can discuss this and hear from anyone, if anyone from the homeowners associations is wanting to participate in this discussion. I would ask them to log into the Zoom account and raise your hand. But that's basically what my recommendation would be to you.
You don't think that I read this pretty carefully, and I don't see that I don't know what you would call it, a motion or a word of support for them would be out of line. I mean, it's backed by literally every group that's related to that area, the homeowners and all,
and the whole area by some, and Herb Frank, and just about everybody I've spoken with thinks it's what's proposed here, or what's outlined here, is a good idea.
I think, you know, expressing whether it's an, you can make a motion, expressing support for the homeowners and what they want is important. This is something the board does for all private applications as well. We always support neighbors meeting with any potential applicants or regarding changes in their neighborhood. So I think it would be probably best to support them in their conversations with Miami-Dade County, their conversations with FDOT, and urge all parties responsible for this significant roadway project to really engage with the Venetian homeowners and defer to them with regard to, you know, what their concerns are.
Nancy.
So I was involved with it originally when it became a historic roadway. And that the community was all supportive. Everybody was very happy. Now, as time goes on, taking care of the causeway and making sure that it's kept up, FDOT would come up with these ideas. And the one that really, that they kept talking about it for years, that they were going to purchase the Venetian Causeway. They are going to purchase, as far as I know, the one in the southern one, the what's the one down here, the road. What? It's the Venetian Causeway and the southern road that goes out to is the
MacArthur Causeway.
The MacArthur Causeway, yes. So for years they've been talking about buying both. The Venetian Causeway got picked up later in the day, and that was their big mistake because the people whom I know who live on the causeway, who live in this community, were up in arms, and it was so loud and it was so clear that we didn't want the causeway to be purchased, because that meant that it was going to a private, and there was a developer waiting. Private developer would have taken the causeway, charged whatever he wanted on the causeway. Right now, and for all of its lifetime, the causeway has had a minimal toll to go across. But this was going to be picked up by a private party. I think they're going to get the MacArthur. We're not involved in that. But this community stood tall and said, we don't want it. And FDOT said, okay. So it's one big moment in time that the residents were listened to in a case like this. So I thank you for bringing this to the front for us to discuss. And it's a good, another good, today was a wonderful day, but another good thing happening.
Can we do something a little bit more formal than discussing?
Oh, we can, I would move that we pass as important a motion as we can. I'll leave it to one of the others to put it into terms.
If I could offer my assistance, I think a general statement supporting or endorsing the rehabilitation of the causeway, of the features that are proposed to be restored or renovated, I think is okay. I would just caution the board, since this will come before you as a formal application, the applicant here is likely going to be Miami-Dade County, and I think the state also. So I wouldn't get into any specifics, and I think, you know, the board obviously will look at any application that's filed objectively. I wouldn't want to suggest that the board's already made up its mind. without a formal application. So I think a general endorsement of rehabilitation of the causeway, of support of the homeowner's proposal, maybe recommending that the county and FDOT include the HOA in any discussions on the design. I think those kinds of general statements are well within your authority.
Whatever is expressed will be so appreciated, because it has taken, I think, 10 years or so, we've been hearing these little droppings that this was going to happen. And now all of a sudden, the county cracked down and put a stop to it. So I think we're just there to appreciate and applaud it and do whatever we can speak, whatever we can say. We'll be joining another good crowd of people in the city of Miami Beach who are enlightened about this.
I like the words that you just brought forward, so I move what you said.
Could I ask a question?
I'll second. Yes.
I'm sorry. Great. Just in reading through the comments here about the renovation, there's just one thing that stands out to me, which is that the rehabilitation offers a 25-year lifespan. And so I just think it's worth, you know, asking, is that adequate? Is that enough? I mean, you know, we have 40-year recertifications for buildings, and they come back every 10 years. I mean, if we think back 25 years, we think about how quickly 25 years go by. I mean, what was that, 1997? I mean, that was, you know, 25 years seems like, for a piece of infrastructure like this, seems kind of light. And I wonder, shouldn't that be more robust?
Well, I think that's a detail that we don't have to buy into, actually. I mean, that's a... I just think a measure of support is, in general, since he said we can't be any more specific, I think to start asking about that type of thing might be a little bit premature. I don't know.
Or, you know, we all have the opportunity to go outside the commission and operate it on our own. This was all done by residents of this city and property owners, people who lived here, came back to express their pleasure. So
I think it's great overall. It just kind of stood out to me. So when the time is appropriate, I think that we should be able to inquire about, you know, something perhaps robust enough.
And that's you know, integral. It's actually a very technical legal process for these types of roadway projects that have federal and state funding, is to fully explore all options. And in those time frames, the lifespan of each option is something that is evaluated with great weight. There are certain options that have a longer lifespan than other options, and all of that is balanced. So that's process is still going on. I believe FDOT and the county are getting closer to finalizing kind of this public process and actually starting to submit for approvals. That hasn't occurred yet. But at that time, we would analyze all of the studies that have been done that talk about lifespans and the different options that have been explored and the cost and benefit associated with each of those options. Right now, I think what the homeowners are looking for is, you know, maybe they're looking for more specific direction from this board about what can be demolished, what can be rebuilt. That, I think, is something that you know, Nick has already said, is probably not appropriate, because you will be actually taking official action on those items. But I think they're also looking for support from this community, including the Historic Preservation Board, so that FDOT and the Miami-Dade County take their concerns seriously, that they really do work with the homeowners associations in their final development of any proposed plan, and they take their considerations and concerns, you know, really into the new plan. for whatever that is.
I have to say, this is just 100 miles stronger than it was when it first started. Those of you who knew, I have to think of her name, Barbara Bisnow. Barbara Bisnow is the person who brought this to light. And she has fought it down the line to make sure that everybody did the right thing. And there was a time early on, I went to the early on meetings when FDOT was there, and we said, what will happen to the causeway if it does go private? What will happen to the historic preservation part of it? And the gentleman said, well, it just won't be there anymore. Okay, so that's how they were treating it up until Barbara started that whole thing, and she will continue, I'm sure.
So can we get a statement, Nick, or something, guidance as to what
so
we should say?
What I have is first encouraging the county and FDOT to meet with the neighbors and the homeowners associations and take their concerns and their input into account, and also to generally endorse the rehabilitation of the most important features of the Venetian Causeway. I don't know, Debbie, if that's the right way to characterize what, because I think it's okay to generally endorse rehabilitation. This board.
Can you call it historic?
The historic features of the causeway.
Historic.
Yeah.
Historic.
Yes, I agree.
Okay. Do we have a motion to that or support for the motion?
I'll move it.
And I'll second. Can I ask a point of clarity, though? I just want to understand, because we've talked about city-owned structures and how the HPB's input is sort of a recommendation when it comes to the city. How does it differ when it comes to state or county owned property? Does the HPB have authority to? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I think your review is required here.
Our approval is actually required,
yeah.
Not recommend.
Right.
Isn't
that right,
advisory.
Debbie?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
So there's been a motion and a second.
All those in favor? Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Chair, I know you may have something, but I also okay. have one more thing, if it's okay.
Your ladies
so
first.
I wanted to give the board an update with regard to 93 Palm Avenue. So this was something that at what was it? Was it at the September meeting? The board directed staff to begin the process, begin the historic designation process and bring back a preliminary evaluation and recommendation. There's been a few developments since that happened. Number one, staff has publicly noticed that preliminary evaluation for the November 9th meeting. In addition to that, basically, I think it was the same day as the September Historic Preservation Board meeting, the Planning Department received notification from the owner at the time that they were withdrawing their application to the Design Review Board. So there is currently no application pending review by any of the city's land use boards for a new replacement house. In addition, we were also notified shortly after that the previous owner sold the property, and it was sold very quickly after the Historic Preservation Board meeting. So there is currently a new owner. A representative for that new owner, John Shubin, contacted me recently, late last week, to set up a time to meet with him and kind of discuss some of the options. They are aware of the board's action, and they're aware that the preliminary evaluation is currently scheduled for the November meeting. I was advised that the new owners have hired an architect who has vast experience with historic renovation projects as well as new construction. And I'm really looking forward to meeting with the team and going through all of the different options. We will, you know, explain the benefits of historic designation, including the ad valorem tax exemption program that the city has. And, you know, and really listen to whatever concerns that the owners may have regarding this process. What I would like, and again, this was a request made by the board, so this is why I'm bringing it up to you, because we can't talk, you know, individually to multiple board members. I would like for the board to allow staff to put the application that was scheduled for the November 9th meeting, to place that under a request for continuances and continue that to December so that I have more time to work with the owners, work with any potential architect that they hire, to try to come up with a solution that really works for everyone. I believe that that is the best, most productive way to go forward. And I will say there is currently no threat that that building will be demolished because they have a design review board order allowing them to do so. They do not have a design review board application that is valid, and if they were to submit one, the earliest they would likely be able to get it on an agenda would be either January or February of 2022. So time is not something that we should be concerned about at this point. But I would ask to, you know, I want the board to discuss it and see if you're comfortable with putting that on the agenda. Again, it is on the agenda. It was advertised as a request for continuance to the December 13th meeting.
I would support that.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
So I just want to ask in terms of the time. Once that did come back to the board, that would put the discussion in a place of, if the board moved forward, of zoning in progress. Is that the way that works? I just want to understand.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few different options. Now that we're working with a brand new owner, I want to kind of go through the options. They're, number one, yes, the current application, the applicant is this board. Once you review a preliminary evaluation, if you direct staff to prepare a formal designation report, at that point we would have zoning in progress. At that point, I would also be required to notify the mayor and the city commission, in which they could, within 60 days, call that question at one of the commission meetings. They could deny the board's request, or they could keep the process going. What I'm concerned about is that because we have a new owner that needs time to understand this implication, that, you know, rushing it may not work out for anyone in this case. There's also the option that the new owners will have is to voluntarily designate. If they decide that that's, you know, to their benefit and that's what they desire to do, then we'll bring this back to the board, and then we can convert the application or file a new application on behalf of the owners, free of charge to the owners, for a voluntary designation. In that case, it would be this board in one hearing that would be able to designate if the owners were requesting that. Right now, our process goes, you know, preliminary evaluation at HPB, then potentially commission action, then back to the HPB for designation, then to the planning board for a recommendation, and then to the city commission ultimately for two hearings. So those are the types of things that I think I would, you know, really want the owner's input on. We've said it before, the city has never designated a single family home when the owner is objecting. But I feel positive. I think this is a really interesting opportunity for the city to work with the owners and kind of understand where they're coming from.
So we would be continuing the preliminary evaluation to December to allow.
Not,
time
I mean, for... not right now. We wouldn't be, but in November, I would request that you allow staff to place it on the agenda for requests for continuances, and then you could discuss it further, and you could vote whether or not you would like it continued.
What is to stop the owner at this moment from just deciding that he is going to demolish it? Is there something
so,
that stops
well,
that?
Yes, there is something. That's a great question. In order, because it's a pre-1942 house, and it was conceded by the previous owner that it was an architecturally significant single-family home, it cannot be demolished until the design review board reviews and approves the new construction and a full building permit for that new house is reviewed by the city, approved by the planning department, and all fees associated with that permit have been paid for. So there is no imminent threat to the owner pulling a demolition permit.
When does this board get involved?
Well, it already has gotten involved because you already directed staff to prepare a preliminary evaluation.
But does that prevent, since it's not a designated property, does that prevent them from doing anything?
No. That alone, the directing staff to prepare a preliminary evaluation does not prevent or change anything for the current owners. But it still the design review board process is still required. So they would have to file an application to the design review board, get something approved by the design review board, then file for a permit for that new building, get that approved, and then so there's, in terms of the timing, if they were going to go that route, if they so choose, that's looking at next year, probably January, February, March of next year, that they would even be filing an application to be heard by the design review board. I really, you know, it's my opinion that we shouldn't move forward without the owners, number one, having all of the information and feeling comfortable and understanding fully what's happening.
So what are we being asked to do right now?
I just want a informal agreement that staff can place this on the November agenda under request for continuances. In that time, we will continue to work with the applicant. I will be meeting with a representative from the ownership, and I believe an architect tomorrow. And I think from what I heard, and I just have very basic information, the owners also want to reach out to MDPL, and they want to reach out to the community, and they kind of want to understand. So it's very positive. And at this point, I would like to place it as a request for continuance in the November meeting. Maybe the owner or representative can attend that meeting if they would like and kind of give what their time frame is. But I think at least a month delay is more than reasonable.
So you just want an informal statement of support from each of us? I'm supportive.
Okay.
I don't think it's... even a question. Of course we should.
It's like you're the applicant, and when the applicants are the ones that request that their application be continued. So because I'm staff to you, I'm basically asking you collectively if you would agree to continue your application at the November meeting to the December, you know, at a minimum to the December meeting.
Oh.
And it would be up to you.
You need a motion?
In November. Yes. Okay. Very good.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie.
I have
one more item, an informational item. I've been approached by several people in North Beach last evening. The concern is rising again related to the log cabin. And there seems to be some distrust that it's being properly protected and will eventually come back to us as a structure. I just would like to ask for reconfirmation from the city that I know it's in tranche number two or whatever that means, but it's not going to happen tomorrow, I realize. But I don't want to let it get off the radar in any way, shape, or form ever until it's the reconstruction has started. So that's just a thought from me. I don't know that we need to do anything, but I did want to say it publicly on TV because it has been brought up. Kirk.
I just want to add, as a North Beecher, on the former lot of the North Beach log cabin, what appears to be a couple of shipping containers appear to have been placed on the site.
And
for the locals that were watching when the log cabin was disassembled, what few logs were salvaged were apparently put into shipping containers, and so there might be some question whether the shipping containers that are just sitting on the site
are
the actual materials, and if they are they actually being protected? And what appears to be the original chimney also appears to be laying on the site covered in a blue tarp, and so I would think that the question might exist on you know, how well are the original materials being protected and where are they? And I think we all know that it's part of the second trench, and that's great. That might be an existing question, though.
So, yes, I can tell you that I have not received any additional updates since the last time we spoke about this several months ago. It was approved in the Go Bond question as a project. That is still the case. It is in tranche two. So those particular projects aren't going to be, you know, started for a couple years in terms of the design process. None of that has changed. There is a Go Bond project, so we will have the funding in order to reconstruct the log cabin in the North Shore Park. As discussed previously and as planned. In terms of the exact location of the salvaged materials from the log cabin, I would have to inquire with other entities in the city and get back to you. I don't know where the exact location is. I don't know what's in the storage containers that are on the site of the where the log cabin was, so I would have to get back to you on that.
I just wanted to keep it on the radar and so it doesn't disappear like so many things.
Sure.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
I am involved in this. This is let me just get it. The Art of Architecture, it is a planned activity that we have put together. It's all about the things that we talk about and the direction that things go in this city as far as historic buildings. So I wasn't sure if it's appropriate for me to...
Yes.
Pass these out. So
yes, please.
It speaks for itself. I didn't give it enough here. The cage. The cage. Wait a minute.
The plastic's against you.
The first one, it's finished. The first one with Todd Dragash. These are our local architects who are talking about how we do preservation without building high rises all over the place. Okay, Jack.
I've got one already. So I'll pass
that down to there. Let Debbie have the rest. I almost forgot about it. It's good.
Okay. Anybody else have anything of interest?
Nancy, if it's okay, I'll share this at the School of Architecture. Maybe they can broadcast it a little bit for you.
Because that, we have no problem getting people to come and do, but it hasn't been publicized because it really doesn't look like it's a good thing. Thank you.
Anyone else have any final thoughts? Suggestions? Okay, we're hearing none. We thank you all for coming today, and we had a successful session, and see you in November.
Very good. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.